chapter 9, we see that Jesus and the disciples are passing by, and there's this blind man here, and they've got a question. In fact, we're going to see it again, that among the Jews and among even Gentiles believe that you was born in, if something happened to you when during birth, if you was born deformed or blind or whatever, that somebody sinned on that. And of course, we know that is not true. And Jesus even said that. They asked if it was the parents or this man was born blind. And Jesus said in verse 3, neither, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So this is going to be an example here that Jesus is going to use. And we see that he has this, he spits on the ground, puts clay on the man's eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool. He goes and washes, and his blindness is removed. Well, then this causes a big disturbance because this is on the Sabbath day. But we see neighbors coming up to him, some saying, well, this is the man, and he's saying, it's me, it's me. And others saying, no, it just looks like him. It's not him. It's really not him. It's somebody else. But anyway, starting in verse 18 and reading down through 23, David Bybee, you want to read those for us, 18 through 23?
The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight, and questioned them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him.
And what is interesting here is he's already been brought in verse 13. A number of people brought him to the Pharisees, and they asked him the same thing. And, of course, up in verse 11, he refers to Jesus as being a man. He says, a man that is called Jesus. So let's look at his faith as he goes through here. So originally he called Jesus a man, and, you know, in verse 16 they said, this man can't be of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He doesn't keep their laws on the Sabbath. Jesus is keeping God's law on the Sabbath, but they had made different laws. And then in verse 17, before we read verse 18, in verse 17, he says, he is a prophet. So originally he was just a man. But now as he's going through the thinking of what's going on, well, the man in his own eyes realizes he can't be just a man. No other man has ever done this. And so now he sees he's a prophet. And then the Jews didn't believe him, so who do they bring in next?
His parents.
Who should know more than anything about this man? His parents. Do you know everything about your child?
No.
You don't know everything, but when they're born, you know they've got what? I tell my kids, how many fingers you got? And my grandkids will say, well, 10. I'll say, no, you got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, you know. So, you know, it's nice to have some grandkids and kid around with them, but, you know, all your toes and everything, and you can know if your son's or your daughter's born blind. So they know that. They know everything. And they ask him, is this is your son? Was he born blind? Yeah, it's number one, it's my son. It's our son. Number two, he was born blind. And then they ask him the other question they ask him.
How does he see?
Now, were they there when their son went and washed? Was they there when Jesus told them what to do?
I don't think so.
No. And they said, but we don't know it, but he's of age. You know, in the beginning of this, we might have 3 different words that begin with F. One is the formality that the Pharisees had for the keeping of the Sabbath. The other F is, why won't the parents answer?
Fear.
And the last thing we're going to see is faith in the man. But right now, it's the part of fear. the Pharisees hated Jesus so much. We've already seen earlier in the passages in the Gospels that they wanted to put Jesus to death very early on in his ministry. And that's what they're wanting to do here too. So they're fearful. Now, should the parents have been fearful of the Pharisees?
In that culture, it would be rare that they wouldn't be.
That's right. They would be fearful of them. But are they asking these parents to do, once the parents would find out that Jesus truly was the Son of God, would that not be bullying these parents?
They are bullying.
To use this aspect of what Jesus has done to people out of the synagogue, is that not bullying people not to confess Jesus? Yeah, David?
The Pharisees, it's as if they're saying, we want your true testimony. But if we don't like your testimony, we're going to put you out of the synagogue. Yeah, I mean, to me, I think you chose a perfect word for it. They're acting like bullies.
And who should have known the scriptures?
They should.
Because what did they give their life to do?
Study the scriptures.
These just wasn't some people that had never studied the Word of God, had never listened to the Word of God, had never read the Word of God, but these are the spiritual leaders of the nation, and they're evil people because they don't believe that Jesus, what he has done. Jesus did many miracles, even that's not recorded. They should have accepted Christ. So the parents in verse 23 says, ask our son. He is of age. Okay, Austin, you want to read verses 24 down through 33.
They again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. When they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke nonsense for this fellow. We don't know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. And he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. The world began and unheard of it. Anyone open the eyes of the one who is born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
It's interesting. Just in the sermon that he preached today about just going with the world, did this man go with the world? No. Think of this. Had he studied at a foot of any of the rabbis?
Probably not.
Did he have letters? Didn't Paul have letters? Didn't these Pharisees can say, well, I'm a student of this rabbi, and I'm a student of this rabbi, and this rabbi. I've talked about my friend Joseph. He gave me a book one time about one of the rabbis that lived through the Holocaust and about how that rabbi went and studied with other rabbis in Jerusalem. And that's what you would do. So you would study under different men, rabbis, that was influential. Could this guy read?
No.
No, he couldn't read. Do you think after his encounter with Jesus, and when Jesus talks about the old law and the prophets and Moses, do you think this guy, at his point in life, went to learn how to read so he could read about the prophecies of what the prophets had done? I don't know, but I think if Jesus opened his eyes, I think he would want to know. He would be thirsty for knowledge and having that eyesight back. But anyway, they call him, and the Pharisees in verse 24, what do they tell him? Who should he give the praise to? Should anybody that was healed by Jesus by a miracle give glory to God?
Yes.
Should we give glory to God?
Yes.
When good things happen? All times we should give glory to God. And in fact, what did they say about Jesus? Give glory to God, for we know
this man's a sinner.
This man is a sinner. How do they know that?
They decided that.
They was trying that if they could convince that Jesus was a sinner, then everything he's done, and they've tried to do this by the power of Beelzebub. Remember, a couple pages over, they said he has a devil. He's a Samaritan. They're insulting Jesus. And all he did was do many miracles that no one could do. His teachings ran counter to them. His teachings on the Sabbath, did that not run counter to what they said, what they wanted? Yeah, they said if you turned over in your bed, you violated the Sabbath. They said if she plucks a gray hair out of her head on the Sabbath, it's a violation of the Sabbath. Those things were not in the law. They made those things up. Okay? And in verse 25, what's his reply?
He says, I don't know that he's whether he's a sinner or not. But he says, I know I was blind. He says, now I see.
It really doesn't matter to the blind man at this time that if Jesus is a sinner or not. All he knows, he's been cured of his blind. And then in verse 26, what they ask him again?
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
Okay. They ask him again. And then what in verse 27 he says?
I told you already, and you're not listening.
Yeah. He's telling them the truth, but it's something they do not want to hear. And they think that the more they interrogate, that's really an interrogation is what's going on. The more they interrogate this guy, the more that he's going to say something that would confirm their position that Jesus is a sinner. And then what does he ask him in the end of verse 27?
You're asking me so many questions about it, you must want to be a disciple.
But won't you hear, and what? He says, will you also be his disciples? Now, did that run through them?
Yes.
When this blind man...
They probably didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it. But he said, I've told you once, I'll tell you again, aren't you hearing? You know, Jesus is going to come in the very end of this chapter. They could hear physically, right? But could they hear spiritually?
No.
Could they see physically? But they couldn't see spiritually. That's what he's getting at here. And then after he says, will you be his disciples? In verse 28, what did they tell him?
We're disciples of Moses.
But they reviled him first, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, when someone starts losing an argument, they start getting mad at the person that's telling the truth, don't they? And they start sometimes get violent, don't they? And sometimes they start calling people names and everything. We're seeing this here. These are the spiritual leaders of the people there in Jerusalem. And they say, we are Moses' disciples. And in verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know from whence he is. Is that really true?
No,
this is not the first time they've heard of Jesus.
That's the thing.
Jesus has been coming. He'll be going to 4 Passovers in his life when he started his ministry. Every time he's in Jerusalem, he's teaching, he's healing, he's performing miracles right before them. And in 2 chapters from this, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's a suburb of Jerusalem. That's where that's going to happen. And everybody knows Lazarus.
If they had their eyes spiritually open, true to Moses' teachings, then they would see that this is God.
And that's interesting on Moses' teaching. Go over to Luke, the rich man and Lazarus. In Luke 16, we see the rich man there with Lazarus. And then down, therefore, in, down in verse 27 of chapter 16, in this discourse with the rich man, the rich man says, "Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." This man is in a place of torment. He's conscious, and he doesn't. He loves his family, doesn't he? And he's got brothers back that's still living. And he doesn't want to see his brothers in the place of torment. Abraham, then verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he say, "Nay, Father Abraham, for if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will he be persuaded the one rose from the dead." These same men here that's referring to this blind man that now can see, that we know Moses, God is saying, if you've got Moses and the prophets, that's all you need. And he said, even if one comes back from the dead, the rich man said they will believe. Is that true?
No.
Who came back from the dead?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Lazarus. Okay. Moses and the prophets are what we need. Andy.
Not only that, when they say they know Moses, they would have known that God spoke through Moses, because they would have been aware that Moses was able to do wondrous works because God was with him. They would have known that. Same way with Jesus. Jesus was doing wondrous works through God. They should have known Jesus as much as they knew.
And Moses' works, miracles, was greater than Moses' works and miracles, right? The one greater than Moses is here. Okay. Then verse 30 says, "This is marvelous. This is really outstanding. You're the spiritual leaders of the Jews. You study their old law." And he says, that is marvelous that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You know, this man, for not having probably an education, he's putting the elitist, the ones with the best education of this time that knows, should know the old law, he's putting them to shame. He's saying, this is remarkable that you all don't know this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Just as Andy had said. Did Moses do this?
No.
Do we have a record of any of the prophets doing this? So there's a greater than Moses, the greater than the prophets. He's there with them. That's a remarkable, to be Jesus being able to be in flesh and blood and talking and meeting different people. That would be marvelous. And then verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Something else about this man, by being blind and being a beggar. Would his clothing been different than the clothing of the Pharisees?
Sure.
It talks about the Pharisees, all the garb that they would dress up in. And also, would they not put boxes around their forehead with a box of the scriptures in them? And can you see all those Pharisees wanting to be so holy and righteous and dressed up in all their arraignment, and they'd have the scriptures at the bottom of their robes? And here's this guy. You know, when that guy went to his place to beg that day, he didn't realize he's going to have a sight, did he? And I don't know what his appearance looked like. You know, somebody had to, if he got his hair cut every so often, or somebody had to maintain him, okay? He was just a beggar, a blind beggar. So here he is going up against the religious elitist of his day.
You know, you bring up the way that people dress in such fashion, you know, liken it to going to court. When people go to court, you know, there are people who have been arrested and come in
suits and tie. Yeah.
And there are people who have been
cleaned up, don't they?
In suits and hats.
Right.
You can tell the difference in such a thing. Yeah.
when there's going to be a trial with someone that's committed some heinous crimes, he's usually dressed, they dress them up, don't they?
I think this all boils down to the fact that this man used logic. And people with preconceived ideas will never listen to logic.
And he knew something about the Jewish law, didn't he?
Use logic. The questions he asked.
Yeah.
You know, how could a man who does this not be who he claims he'd be, but yet they won't believe it? I think we see the same thing in this day and time.
The gospel, is it only for people with PhDs and master degrees? It's for the common person, isn't it? And sometimes people that's highly educated, it's harder for them to obey the gospel because the gospel's pretty simple, isn't it? Let me ask you, does people in the world today know is there a moral law?
Yes.
Under the old law, we have the Jews that's under the law of God, but the Gentiles was under a moral law, right? The Gentiles knew what was right and wrong. Today, does people know what's right and wrong? Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
This man may be blind, but they say that when you lose a sense, such as blind or hearing or whatever, you gain another sense. And he's sitting on a street corner pavement. These Pharisees were in and about on those people, or wherever he was doing his painting. He heard what they had said, what they were saying to him.
And I want to bring up something else here too. You just made a good point. When the disciples was walking with Jesus and they walked by this man, did they hear what the disciples said about this man?
Most likely.
We don't know for sure, but most likely, because if we're walking together and there's a blind man back there, we don't know that guy's blind until we get pretty close to him, right? Think of this blind man sitting here, what Ray has just said. He's sitting there, and the disciples says, "Master, who did sin? This man of his parents?" Think if you're the blind man. The disciple's walking by, and he hears him say this. What do you think he's thinking of? Did I sin? Did I sin in my mother's womb? Or what great sin did my parents do? Is my eyesight being blind? Is it because of the sin that my parents did? And what does Jesus say in verse 3?
Neither
hath this man sinned nor his parents. So wouldn't that be comforting for that guy to hear it? The disciples have said he's there. His blindness is caused by some great sin of his or his parents. And then Jesus says, no. This man didn't sin. And then Jesus says, but that the works of God should be made manifest to him. So as you're blind, usually if you lose one sense, as Raya said, your other senses are more, you can hear better, you can feel better, you can smell better, normally. And if he heard that, and then when Jesus goes over and Jesus talks, and all of a sudden after Jesus speaks, the guy hears a spit. Can you spit without making a noise? Because it's kind of hard. But he hears that, because somebody would ask, why would this guy, a total stranger, comes up to him and put the clay, the salve on his eyes? But if he's heard what Jesus has said, it makes it maybe easier. Because Jesus is just a stranger to this guy, right? But when he hears, I think, this discourse before, Jesus tells him, puts the salve on, I'll go wash in the pool. If he had not went and washed in the pool, would he have been cured of his blindness?
No.
No. If Naaman hadn't went and got washed in the Jordan River, would he have been cleansed of his leprosy? Okay, because God told him to do that through a prophet. And Jesus is the Son of God today. And God says, for the forgiveness of sins, if you have to be baptized, you've got a choice to make. You have a choice to make over in Mark 16,
It's interesting, and when I've read over this and thought about it, could that blind man point who it was that did this to him? He was blind at the time, and he was told to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and did that. There's nothing indicating that time, because as we'll read on here, Jesus seeks him out and finds him. So there's no, you know, we don't know, and we can't say that this man, when he was healed, could have pointed and said, "This is the man that healed me."
He couldn't.
He couldn't. And
he could only know his voice, right?
Right. And, you know, and we don't see another interaction until coming up here between the blind man and Jesus. So, and it just always kind of struck me interesting as why they didn't sit there and say, "Well, how do you know who it was that healed you?" You know, because he just sat there and said, This man
Jesus, he did.
You know,
and that was, if he would have said, "This man, Judas," or "This man, Abraham," they'd been okay with that probably. But when he says, "This man, Jesus," that was the word. They'd had enough of Jesus, hadn't they?
Yes.
They didn't want to see. And like I told you before, I talked to my friend one time about when I first met with him. I said, "What do you think of Jesus?" He said, "We don't think a lot. We don't. He's a false teacher." I think, well, you know, but that's true among many of the Jews. Okay, verse 34. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins." Remember what the disciples was talking about, that when they met, okay, this is the philosophy that the Pharisees and people in Jewish religions, even the Gentiles, said, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" Was he teaching them when they was going back and forth?
Yes, he was.
He was teaching them. And they can't get over that this blind beggar is teaching them something they should have known a long time ago. And what did they do to him?
Cast him out.
"You're gone. You're out of here. You're no longer going to be in fellowship here with us in Jerusalem." Now look here what Jesus does. Jesus knows what's going on. Okay? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Today in this room here, and for the word today, do you believe in the Son of God? This is the question that Jesus asked this man. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Simple question we should ask everybody. Do you believe in the Son of God?
What Mike was saying earlier about just the same logic of this, you look over in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down mighty strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ." This man, he was teaching Christ, doing what he had done. He'd shown the works of him. And these men were mighty men of this day. They were knowledgeable. But he cast down their arguments by saying what Christ had done.
That's right. What Christ had done for him. And they couldn't respond to it. Not truthfully.
They put themselves above God sometimes almost. And they put themselves above Christ.
Right.
Christ was the center of their mind.
And they was concerned about John the Baptist early on because of all the people going out and being baptized of him unto repentance, right? Because John was preaching, there's going to be one coming greater than him. Okay, and then the man answers and said, "Does thou believe on this?" And the man answered in verse 36. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" It's interesting. When we talk to people, friends, neighbors, people we work with and all, does people really want to hear about Jesus?
I don't think so.
Some people do.
They want to hear about him, but they only want to hear about him in their way, right?
Yeah.
What they've made Jesus out to be. They don't want to take the time to go to the scriptures and see. Today, does many people believe that Jesus was a compassionate person? That he was a great teacher? But that's as far as they want to go. If Jesus, and they'll say Jesus was an honest man, but then again, when Jesus says he was the Son of God, does Jesus say there's only one way to heaven?
Yes.
He said that he's the door, he's the light, He's the shepherd. I am this. I am. And Jesus says he is God. Therefore, if you really believe that Jesus is God, you will do what he tells you to do. You will live your life the way you want to. And it's interesting here. I believe in between verse 36 and 37, when the man answers and says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" You think a big smile came on Jesus' face? You think Jesus saying, "This guy is getting it right"? And you think sometimes he's saying, "This guy's getting it more than some of my disciples are getting this, right?" And I think he's got a smile on his face, and he says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You talk about a wow moment. Would that not be a wow moment? This man had just been blind. It's a few hours ago, beginning of the day, whatever time this is, he was been blind. And it says, and he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Did this guy become a faithful follower? I think he did. Did the lady at the well that had the five husbands and the living lover, did she become a faithful follower? I think she did. She went to a whole city, and the city came out. And Jesus stayed there, what, 2 days? And other places in Nazareth where he was born up, they want to take him to the hillside and throw him over the hill and kill him. And the Samaritan, it was a Samaritan city. They were Gentiles. But Jesus has effects on people. Now, does Jesus call people today?
Yes.
Yeah, from reading this word, Jesus calls all people today. And it's up to us to make the decision to follow him. Will he make you follow him? No. But he'll give you eternal life. Okay, now look at the last three verses. Jesus has got a message now for these Pharisees. And we won't take the time to read Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, does he throw the book at the Pharisees?
Yes.
Because they're keeping people from hearing the gospel. They're in the way of people being saved. And that's not right for people to do that. But look at verses 39 through 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" I think there's kind of sarcastic. And Jesus, because they're the ones that has the robes, they're the ones that has the position. And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Those that teach the gospel, those that teach spiritual things, when they teach those things that are wrong, they affect many people in the wrong way, don't they? And that's what he's saying here. "For judgment I came not into the world, that they which see not might see." Jesus didn't really come to heal this guy's physical problem. He came to heal his spiritual problem that he did up in the verses 36, 37, 38. He healed this guy not because of his physical, but because of his spiritual condition.
I think that's a good point. Starting in verse 39, Jesus takes this whole situation and makes a metaphor out of it. The fact that he had physically cured this man, but he says, "My main reason for coming is to see those who are blind spiritually will see." And the Pharisees got that. They understood that by the question they asked in verse 40.
Go over to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In Isaiah 6, there's always, we read about where Isaiah says, verse 6, verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for me? Then said I, Here I am, send me." Okay? That's a good thing to do. When you hear the gospel and you obey the gospel, you want to go out and tell other people about the gospel. But look in the next few verses here. And this, I think, applies to the Pharisees and it applies to many of us today. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye understand ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Is there a danger sometimes to hearing the gospel and hearing it again and hearing again? Why do you think in Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, the people heard but they didn't understand? Can you come and hear the simple truth of the gospel and you hear it for so many times and your heart gets hardened? Is it a danger if you're not a Christian? Is it a danger to coming and hearing words and knowing what to do and you don't do that? The sun that softens, the sun also hardens, does it not? These Pharisees here, I think sometimes we don't respect the scribes and the Pharisees. Their whole life was bound up studying the law and reading the law and trying to teach other people the law. But through it, they had read it so many times and they didn't want to accept it. What did it do to their heart? It hardened their heart. Okay? We need to be careful that we don't fall in the same trap that these Pharisees fell into. The gospel is easy. I one time knew a preacher one time, he said someone looked at the words in the gospel and a fifth grader can understand the gospel. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And so next week we'll get up into another great I Am of Jesus and continue through John.